أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا. وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وكان الله بهم عليما. إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة وإن تك حسنة يضاعفها ويؤت من لدنه أجرا عظيما. فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا. Tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, and today we are starting from ayah number 36. And there are miscellaneous subjects that are going to be discussed today. The majority of them are related to Huququl Ibad, meaning the issues related to making sure that you take care of the people that are around you, the relatives, your neighbors, and anybody who has a right upon you to fulfill their rights, and other topics which we'll discuss inshallah as we go along. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't commit shirk with Him. Don't associate partners with Him. So, up till now, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we worship Him and we don't commit any shirk with Him. And it's mentioned in a hadith that this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His slaves is that when the slaves, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes incumbent upon him that he should enter them into Jannah. This is the subject and the gist of a hadith. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And with the parents, you do good. Do favor towards your parents, meaning you don't disobey them as long as they do not tell you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the makhluq in the disobedience of the Creator. So as long as they do not tell you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be obedient to them. And even if they are non-Muslims, they have to be respected. So, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The reason being that they were the means of your coming into this world. This is how you came into the world, and for that, you have to be grateful to them and serve them as much as possible. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. And also with relatives. Be good towards all relatives. Any person who has any relationship with you, you have to be good to them and do good to them. And don't do anything which is contrary to the etiquette and the ethics of Islam. So, all relatives. And this is something that sometimes is very difficult to do. That relatives, they give you a hard time and they have objections to the way you do things. Or they complain about the minutest things. So, it's very, very difficult to do good to your relatives at all times. But really, we have to swallow this our pride in those difficult times, in the hard times they give us, and continue to do good to them. And this is mentioned here, وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى, and be good towards your relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans. Why? Because they have nobody to look after them. There is no adult to take care of them. So to take care of orphans, it is again the responsibility of every single Muslim. And there are many, many hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that me and the person who looks after the yatim will be like this on the Day of Judgment. And he joined his fingers to display how close the Prophet ﷺ and the caretaker and the guardian of the orphan is going to be. How close they are going to be. So, and the other hadith which is mentioned, that a person when he rubs the head of an orphan, and the hair that touches his hand, that's how many sins will be forgiven from him, from his account. So this is so rewarding to look after an orphan, and the looking after an orphan and taking care of an orphan is mentioned here. Wal masakin, and to take care of the masakin, meaning the people who don't have anybody to take care of them financially, they have difficulty getting by, and they have a hard time providing for their needs, to take care of them, and to give them from your charity, from your zakat, it is incumbent upon you, and you have to take care of the masakin in your community. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ. This is, these words are subject to different interpretations. One interpretation is of al-jari dil-qurba, that means those relatives that are related to you and they also live next to you. Those relatives that are related to you and they also live next to you, their right is at the forefront. And wal-jari al-junub are those neighbors that live next to you but are not related to you. This is one opinion. Another opinion is, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى means those neighbors that are Muslims and they live close to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ meaning those neighbors that are non-Muslims, from the Jews and the Christians, they live next to you. You also have to fulfill their rights. So even non-Muslim neighbors, their rights have to be fulfilled. Okay. So وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ, this is the difference of opinion as to what this means. There are so many hadith about the issue of taking care of the neighbors. It's mentioned in a riwayat of Musnad Ahmad that Abdullah ibn Umar relates that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُ. Jibreel alayhi salam, he continued to advise me about the neighbors and the rights of the neighbors until I began to think that they would also be included in inheritance. Meaning, this is how much Jibreel alayhi salam emphasized the importance of looking after the neighbors, that it became apparent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they may even be included in the people who inherit after the person dies. The next hadith is narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خَيْرُ الْأَصْحَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَخَيْرُ الْجِيرَانِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِجَارِهِ. The best of the partners in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones who are the best to their own partners, meaning husbands and wives, the spouses that are good to each other, they are the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best neighbors in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones who are best to their own neighbors. The next hadith is narrated again in a riwayat of Musnad Ahmad. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad says that the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, مَا تَقُولُونَ فِي الزِّنَا. What is your opinion about zina, adultery and fornication? قَالُوا حَرَامٌ حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَهُوَ حَرَامٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is haram, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet has made haram, and it will stay haram until the Day of Judgment. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَأَنْ يَزْنِيَ الرَّجُلُ بِعَشْرِ نِسْوَةٍ أَيْسَرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَنْ يَزْنِيَ بِحَلِيلَةِ جَارِهِ. That a person, he makes zina with his neighbor's wife, it is easier for him, or lighter for him, it is lighter for him, or is heavier for him, than he makes zina with 10 women. Meaning, if he makes zina with 10 women, that is the equivalent to having zina and doing zina with a neighbor's wife. And this is again something which is related to the Ten Commandments that we, I don't know how many of you are familiar with them, but one of the Ten Commandments which is mentioned in the Old Testament is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Meaning you shall not have any inclination towards your neighbor's wife. Why specifically neighbor's wife? Because the neighbor's wife is coming and going at all times, so a person sometimes sees her, sometimes she's maybe putting out clothes to dry or something, and there is always the chance that she can be seen. So there is the added, you know, chance that a person can, you know, with, at least with his eyes, commit zina by looking at her. So, in all religions, in all teachings of the prophets, the issue of the neighbor's wife has been specifically mentioned. And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying that a person, he commits zina with 10 women, it is lighter for him than he should commit zina with his neighbor's wife. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا تَقُولُونَ فِي السَّرِقَةِ. What do you say about stealing? قَالُوا حَرَّمَهَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ فَهِيَ حَرَامٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is something that Allah and His Prophet have made haram, and it will stay haram until the Day of Judgment. قال لَأَنْ يَسْرِقَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ عَشَرَةِ أَبْيَاتٍ أَيْسَرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْرِقَ مِنْ جَارِهِ. That a person should steal from 10 households, it is lighter for him than he should steal from his own neighbor. So again, the emphasis on taking care of the neighbor's rights is mentioned in the hadith. The next hadith, it's narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-jiranu thalatha." There are three statuses or three grades of neighbors. Jarun lahu haqqun wahid, wa huwa adna al-jirani haqqan. There is one neighbor who has one right, and he is the lowest of the neighbors in terms of his status. Wa jarun lahu haqqan. There's a neighbor who has two rights, and he is وَجَارٌ لَهُ ثَلَاثَةُ حُقُوقٍ وَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْجِيرَانِ حَقًّا. And the neighbor who has three rights, and this person who has three rights, he is the most important of the neighbors. فَأَمَّا جَارُ الَّذِي لَهُ حَقٌ وَاحِدٌ فَجَارٌ مُشْرِكٌ لَا رَحْمَ لَهُ. That the person who has one right is that neighbor who is a mushrik. Not even a Muslim, but he still has a right. He has no relationship with you, no blood relationship with you, but he still has a right upon you. You have to fulfill his right, and this is the neighbor with the lowest right. لَهُ حَقُّ الْجِوَارِ. He has the right of neighborhood, of being the neighbor. وَأَمَّا الْجَارُ الَّذِي لَهُ حَقَّانِ فَجَارٌ مُسْلِمٌ لَهُ حَقُّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحَقُّ الْجِوَارِ. And as for the person who is the second one, who has two rights, is the one who is a neighbor and he's also a Muslim. So he has the right of being a Muslim and also the right of being a neighbor. So two rights have to be fulfilled. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي لَهُ ثَلَاثَةُ حُقُوقٍ فَجَارٌ مُسْلِمٌ ذُو رَحْمٍ لَهُ حَقُّ الْجِوَارِ. And the third person is the one who has Islam, he's a neighbor and he has the relationship with you. So three things he has in you. So these three things have to be fulfilled. So he has لَهُ حَقُّ الْجِوَارِ وَحَقُّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحَقُّ الرَّحْمِ. He has the right of the being the neighbor, the right of being a Muslim, and also the right of the relationship that have to be fulfilled. Which of the neighbors have to be taken care of the most? It's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, أَنَّهَا سَأَلَتْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَتْ إِنَّ لِي جَارَيْنِ فَإِلَىٰ أَيِّهِمَا أُهْدِي. I have two neighbors, so to which of them should I give hadiyah to? Which of them should I give gifts to? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِهِمَا مِنْكِ بَابًا. The one whose door is closer to you. So the one who's closer in terms of positioning, he has more rights than the person who is far away. So again, so many hadith about the importance of neighborhood. And many people are maybe not aware of one other right or other rights which are mentioned in hadith. For example, the issue of haqqu shufa'a. Shufa'a means that the word shufa'a actually means multiplication. And what it means is that when you are about to sell your property, the first person who has the right to buy that property is your neighbor. So before putting it up for sale, Islamically, you have to ask your neighbor first. If he forfeits his right and says, I don't want to buy the property, then you can go on and list it for sale publicly. So this is kind of something which we probably are not aware of. And shufa'a, like I said, it means multiplication. So the person who is the neighbor, he might want to add, put this addition of this land and make his land bigger. That's why it's known as haqqu shufa'. And there are other riwayat which mention that a person is not allowed to build his wall higher than the wall of his neighbor. Why? So that the wind or the breeze that comes to his house and cools the house down and they open the windows, it doesn't get blocked. So this concept, this Islamic concept, it is implemented in many Western countries now. In any country that you go which is kind of developed, you cannot build any kind of a building without taking permission and authorization from the county or the local authority, whoever it is. Okay, once you have that authorization, then you can build a property. And many times you have to submit a plan and you have to show how high it is going to be and whether it's going to be the same kind of quality as the buildings around it and so on. So this issue is an Islamic issue, and it was implemented 1400 years ago by Islam. And there are again many, many, many hadith, and we could go on and on about it. And because of lack of time, we'll just continue, inshallah. So the next thing that's mentioned is after the relatives, وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ. And the literal translation of صَاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ means the companion by your side. And it has been interpreted in many ways. One opinion is the opinion of Ali and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhumah. They say that this is a person's wife. You have to be good to your wife, your spouse. This is what it means by the companion on your side. Ibn Abbas and Mujahid say that it means Rafiq fi safar, meaning the person who is traveling with you, to be good to him and be courteous to him, be nice and kind to him. This is what is meant. And in this day and age, you have like a 10-hour, 12-hour journey, or at the most 18, 20-hour journey. But in those days, people were traveling for months on end. So if you got somebody who was a bad companion in a journey, and he's bothering you for 3-4 months, your life is going to become a misery. So, al-rafiq fi safar is one opinion here that is meant by as-sahibu bil-jamd, meaning your companion by the side. Sa'id ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu says that it's huwa rafiq al-salih. It means a pious companion or a friend, to be good to him. And Zayd ibn Aslam says huwa jalisuka fil hadar wa rafiquka fis safar. Any companion that you have while you are in your hometown, that can be included in this, and any person who travels with you, that can be included in this. And so basically, these wordings, they have different interpretations from scholars, and this is actually one of the beauties of the Quran, that one word, it can hold so many different meanings, and to accept all of those meanings and to implement all of those meanings is perfectly fine. This is one of the beauties of the Quran, that it has multifaceted meanings. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wabnu sabil, which literally translated means the son of the way, which means a traveler. And even that has different interpretations. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that it means a host who comes to your house, a guest who comes to your house and you are his host. And Mujahid and Dhahak and Muqatil say huwa alladhi yamurru alayka mujtazan fi safar, the person who passes by you and he was in a journey. This is what is meant here. So وَابْنُ السَّبِيلِ, this means a person who is your guest or a traveler. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, and those whom your right hands possess, meaning the slaves. And again, the rights of the slaves, we mentioned it earlier on in the surah, and I don't want to go into that again, but the Prophet ﷺ, while he was on his deathbed, he kept on repeating, الصَّلَاةُ الصَّلَاةُ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, الصَّلَاةُ الصَّلَاةُ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, Be careful of salat, be careful of salat and the rights of your slaves. Be careful of your salat and the rights of your slaves. So this was something that was emphasized, and the Prophet ﷺ used to always tell people that when you have these slaves, make sure you take care of them, feed them from what you eat, and dress them from what you dress, and do not give them too much work to do. And if you do give them heavy work to do, make sure you help them in doing that work. And there are again many, many riwayat, and always the emphasis was to set the slaves free as much as possible, and this was also very rewarding in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not like the person who is مُخْتَال, meaning a person who is arrogant, and فَخُور, prideful and boastful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that kind of a person who has these qualities of being arrogant. And the person who is arrogant, he does not take care of the people around him. He just thinks about himself at all times. And he wants people to take care of him, but he will not take care of other people. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended that verse by saying that the person who does not do these things, and he doesn't take care of his relatives and his neighbors and the rights of the people around him, he is in fact a person who is arrogant and boastful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such people. Who are those people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Those people that are stingy themselves, and they order other people to also be stingy. Okay? It's not enough to be stingy yourself, you also tell other people to be stingy and not donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And they hide what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them from His blessings. So, many people, you know, they may be millionaires, but they dress like, you know, they don't have a penny to their name. Or they live in surroundings which is inhabited by poor people who don't have any money. So they do not express the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been given to them, and they hide it for the reason that if people find out, then people are going to take it from me. Tahdith bin ni'mah is also something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Tahdith bin ni'mah means that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a blessing, to express that blessing and to show that blessing upon your person and in your life. This is also something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, but without the intention of any kind of arrogance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَنْعَمَ نِعْمَةً عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُظْهَرَ أَثَرُهَا عَلَيْهِ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives somebody a blessing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that the athar, the effect of that thing, is apparent upon him. And we, even in our daily life, when we buy something for our kids or our wives, what do we do? I mean, we give them the gift, and when they wear the gift or when they use the gift and they express happiness at getting that gift, we feel proud of it. And we feel happy that we were the ones that gave them the gift in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us His blessings, He loves to see the effect of those blessings upon us. And it's not arrogance to express those blessings and to show those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So Allah says that those people that hide the fadl that Allah has given them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like them. After that, Allah says, وَأَعْتَذْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. We have prepared for the kafirin a very disgraceful punishment, disgracing punishment. So here, kafirin, it means from the word kufr. Kufr, the real meaning of kafir is the one who hides things. And that's why a farmer is also known as a kafir, plural kuffar. Why? Because he takes the seed and he hides it into the ground. Okay? So al-kafir really means the person who hides. And here, it is not referring to disbelievers. It's referring to those people who hide the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. They don't express the blessings that Allah has given them. So Allah says, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. We prepared for those kafirin, those people who hide, a very disgracing punishment.
وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ.
And when they do spend their wealth, those people spend, why? So that people say to them, oh, what a generous person. How nice he is, how kind he is. So, again, the person when he spends, he should have ikhlas and he should spend it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And they have no iman in Allah in the last day. Meaning, if a person is spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him in the hereafter. But this person is only spending, not because he is expecting Allah to be pleased with him, but he wants people to be pleased with him, and he wants to tell people and show people how generous he is. So Allah does not like that. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَهُ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا. And whoever makes the shaytan as a partner, then what a bad partner he is. فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا. What a bad partner the shaytan is.
وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا.
And what would have happened to them? What would they lose if they had iman in Allah on the last day? And they spent from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with. Nothing would have happened to them. It was only for their own benefit. They would not have had any loss by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would have been only for their benefit in the hereafter if they did that. But they don't want to do that. So Allah says, what would they lose? What is going to happen to them? What deficiency and harm is going to come to them if they have iman in Allah and the last day, and they spend from that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is fully aware of such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on with such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not do dhulm similar to an atom or equal to an atom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to do any type of oppression and wrong to any person on the Day of Judgment. And there are many verses in the Quran which indicate that if a person even has one atom of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order that person to be taken out of the hellfire, and he's going to be put into Jannah after a certain amount of time. It's narrated, it's the long hadith about shafa'ah and intercession. It's mentioned at the end of that hadith, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ اِرْجِعُوا فَمَنْ وَجَدْتُمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ فَأَخْرِجُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That right at the end of that hadith is mentioned that go back, and whoever you find that he has an atom or a seed's worth of iman in his heart, take him out from the hellfire. And in another riwayah, أَدْنَا 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 مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ فَأَخْرِجُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever has the minor atom or speck of iman, take him out of the hellfire. So adna, adna, adna has been mentioned 3 times. Adna means the lowest form of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He will order those people to be taken out. So Allah will not give any type of dhulm and oppression to any person, even if he has one atom of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let that person get benefit from that also. وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And if there's any type of hasana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that hasana. He will multiply that good deed, and He will give from Himself a great reward. So, just think for a minute that the hasanat that we do, the good deeds that we do during the day, okay? 5 minutes of salat, 10 minutes of salat, okay? In Ramadan we just fast, maybe a few minutes of Quran here and there, and the rest of the time we try to avoid the sins. But compared to that, look at the blessings Allah has given us. The eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, and everything that we cannot even count. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the
the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot count them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those minor deeds that you do, that 10 minutes you take to pray, those 15 minutes you take to pray, the small hunger that you endure in the month of Ramadan, the small effort you make in trying to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not let that go unnoticed. And those hasanat that you do, those good deeds that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies them and multiplies them and multiplies them. And then on top of that, He will give you ajr from Himself. Just imagine that the last person who will go out of Jannah, the last person who will go out of Jahannam and he'll enter Jannah, he will have a Jannah which is 10 times bigger than this world. For what? He was in hellfire and he was, you know, being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet he comes out and he's given a dunya which is 10 times bigger than this world. So it's not because of his deeds. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, through His generosity, through His compassion, He gave him, and He will continue to give. So we will not, none of us will enter Jannah through our deeds, through the minor deeds that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to enter us into Jannah through His mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the companions this. He says, "Wala anta ya Rasulullah, not even you, O Prophet of Allah, are going to enter paradise except through the mercy of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wala ana, not even me, illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatin min, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers me with His mercy, then I will enter paradise." So the hasanat that we do is just a kind of an attraction or something to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those hasanat and those deeds we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply them and He'll give from His own self ajran azima, a very big reward. After that Allah says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So how is it going to be when we're going to bring a witness from every ummah, and we're going to bring you, O Prophet of Allah, this is addressing the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is it going to be when we bring you as a witness against all of them? So what's going to happen? And then this is the one of the specifics of this ummah, the specific blessings that have been given to us, that first and foremost, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the best of the prophets. He is going to be a witness against all of the other nations. How? He is going to witness against them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent prophets to them, and they disobeyed the prophets, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be a witness. And this ummah is going to be a witness also. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. We have made you into the middle ummah so that you can be a witness against the people. So on the Day of Judgment, we're going to be called to testify against people, against all of the previous nations. The question is, how? We weren't there when the prophets came to them. So how are we going to have a testimony when we were not even witnesses? We have become witnesses. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran what happened with the people of Thamud, with the people of Salih, with the people of Aad, and the people of Lut alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. So once Allah has told us, and we believe in it, so we've become a witness against those previous nations by reading about it in the truthful book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one verse which tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the responsibility that he has, that he will be a witness against all of the previous nations. And this is a riwayah that we may have heard before, in which it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to recite the Quran to him. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Aqra wa alayk wa alayka unzil." I'm going to read to you, and it was revealed to you, O Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uhibbu an asma'a min ghayri." Sometimes I want to just hear from somebody else. So he started reading Surah An-Nisa, and when he got to this ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hasbuka al-an," stop right now, enough. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud turned around and he saw his eyes were flowing with tears. So this is that verse. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعْصَوُوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. On that day, the people who disobeyed, who did kufr and disbelieved, and they disobeyed the Prophet, that they could be made equal to the earth. Meaning, they would want to go back into the earth and die forever and ever. They don't want this new life. Okay, they want to go back and become equal with the earth again. Why? They're going to see the punishment now with their own eyes. They're going to see the punishment with their own eyes. وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. And they're not going to be able to hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will deny. And they will say that no, nobody came to us, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put a seal on their mouths, and they will not be able to speak, and their hands and their feet and their body parts are going to speak and testify against them. So this is what is meant by وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. They're not going to be able to hide any hadith, any type of word, any hidden thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this we complete the lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in the hadith.